Any pastor who stands up here and presents an image of having it all together, that pastor is a spiritual fraud. No one has it all together. No one is without sin. I mean, if you ever get the impression that I'm giving you that in the case of this church, that I'm not, how many times they say, people come up and I get it. They want to encourage. I'm so thankful for the encouragement. We need it. We need to encourage one another. I get that. But in the end, man, let us know we are just sinners together seeking the sufficient Savior. Amen? I mean, all of us sinners together. Trust me, man, the sin of my heart as recently as yesterday grieves me. Grieves me. I resonate with Paul, wretched man that I am.
Hi, and welcome to Live in the Light. We're thankful that you're here today. In fact, we're so thankful. We would love to hear from you. If God has been stirring in your heart through these messages as we've been walking through the book of Acts and looking at the birth of the early church, we would love to hear if God has been speaking to you in a specific way. There's such encouragement to us. You can reach out to us at the website at liveinthelight.ca, or you can even phone us up at 1-844-22-LIGHT. Well, today we turn into a serious and a sobering passage on the danger of tangling up in sin. And we're going to go to a familiar story in the book of Acts, the story of Ananias and Sapphira, with a message entitled, Don't Take Sin Lightly. Here now is Pastor Robbie with today's message.
And I'm praying the Holy Spirit, starting with me, would create conviction and cultivate a conscience that is feeling and seeing what the Lord wants us to see and hear. Remember, our passage today tells us how seriously God takes the sin of hypocrisy and deception and lying. I thought of a Proverbs 6, the six things or seven things the Lord hates and then detests. Two of these, it says the Lord hates a lying tongue. The Lord hates a lying tongue. And then further on in the same section of the things that God hates, he says, I hate a false witness and those who breathe out lies. I was reading yesterday in Proverbs chapter 30, and the writer says, two things I ask of you, God. Two things, he says, he asked for. Remove from me lying and falsehood. And then the second thing he asked for, and give me neither poverty nor riches that I may follow you. How does that relate to Ananias and Sapphira and their situation? Remove from me falsehood. And remove from me greed and the desire to accumulate. Give me neither poverty nor riches, that I may not steal and that I may not be overfed, that I no longer desire you, O God. A lot of wisdom there. Who's that for today? And notice in our text today as well, notice a couple of massive insights here. Number one, notice this lie was incited by Satan. Look at verse three. Ananias, why has Satan, what do we learn about Satan here? A lot. Why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit? Let's be mindful of how Satan works. How often has Satan destroyed the church from the inside, ruined a local church from the inside? Notice the contrast here in the book of Acts. We have heard over and over again, they were filled with the Spirit. Filled with the Spirit, filled with the Spirit. Now notice the contrast, Ananias and Sapphira. Why has Satan filled your heart? Instead of being filled by the Spirit, they are filled with Satan. Their hearts are filled with the lies of Satan. And think of the devastating directions that those things will go. Filled with God's Spirit, and your heart has been filled with Satan to lie and to be filled with deception. What a massive difference this is. You know, I think about this too. There are always people in our midst lurking about with evil intentions. And they could be here right now. I do not know. But from the moment this church began, there have always been people lurking about with evil intentions, not filled with the Spirit, but filled with Satan. That's just a reality. You know, my prayer right now is, Lord, you will shine your light upon this place. You will shine your light upon every heart in this room right now. You will shine and you will protect us from those who come in as wolves, seeking to devour the sheep and seeking to be instruments of Satan and even disguised as angels of light, the text says. God, shine your light. And anyone who's here with some kind of evil desire to destroy and distract and disrupt and to deceive, God, give us enough wisdom and discernment to see what it is, and you would create a great brokenness and a great reality and seriousness of our own sinfulness, that we would operate from a foundation of, God, have mercy upon me, as opposed to some proud posture of positioning ourselves of some kind of usefulness to God. God exalts the humble. He opposes the proud. He gives grace to the humble, and he stands against the proud. This lie was incited by Satan. Again, Satan is the great accuser. Satan is the father of lies. And notice, secondly, still under point one, but notice this, this lie was against the Holy Spirit. Look at verse 3, verse 4, verse 8. I'll give you time to look at verse 3, verse 4, verse 8. Three times Peter says this sin was directly against the Holy Spirit. See that? That's why this is such a serious deal, as we explained already. Three times. Why have you lied against the Spirit? Why have you tested? Why have you lied not to men, but to God, it says. Wow. Wow. I mean, who's taking personal offense at this? The Holy Spirit is. It reminds me of David, against you and you only have I sinned, O God. I mean, you want to talk about grieving the Holy Spirit of God? Like, church, listen up. This is so important. Men, women, children, you want to grieve the Holy Spirit of God, then you play the part of a hypocrite. You want to grieve the Spirit of God within your life? Like, you want the answers as to why you feel nothing and why there's no passion and why there's just seemed like such a distance from God. I don't know, in every case, I'm just saying, if this is happening in our lives, man, you better believe we will grieve the Holy Spirit as fast as anything else we can do. Hypocrisy, deception, and lying. Fraudulent lives, fake lives. It kills and quenches the power of the Spirit within our lives, just as it did with Ananias and Sapphira. It's the man currently having an affair on his wife, but is sitting here possibly even now pretending everything's right. You are playing a massively dangerous game. Can I say it with any more seriousness of what right now you are involved in? And I bet you there are situations right here, right now, where that's a realistic example right now. And you somehow think that you can pretend everything's okay here and you're completely living a life of deception over here. I'm telling you, man, by the grace and the warning and the mercy of God, I'm telling you, God is sending you a warning right now. Repent as fast as you can. It will not end well. It never does. How about the woman who deeply desires to be seen in spiritual superiority or spiritual maturity, and yet your own pride prevents your weakness? The pride does not ever allow you to admit your weakness or admit your frailty or admit your sin, because you're so concerned with being seen in a certain light and having the right spiritual answers and always being the mentor, never being the mentee. Our pride deceives us. The teenager who has learned to give all the right answers and look the part. Christianese is their second language. But if I tapped into your social media, heard your conversations, your true heart would be revealed in like that. The young adult who seeks to exhort others in truth. But even last night, you were dabbling in deep darkness. These are lives of tremendous insincerity that must be taken so seriously. How about the pastor who tries to live up to the people's expectations in the process becomes inauthentic? I always remember Paul Tripp said, I never forget this. Paul Tripp says, I think he writes in his book, and he said to me personally, when people come up to him, he's a fantastic speaker, author, lots of admiration. People come up and basically like, oh, you're amazing, and whatever. And I'm so happy to, I think you're the best and stuff. He's like, he says this to them in their face sometimes. He says, listen, if you really knew me, you wouldn't say that about me. And I was like, man, that's so good. You know, people with good intentions, sometimes what we do is we see someone at the front and we make them into our own image. And it's an image the person can never, ever live up to. I always say this to you many, many times. I say, any pastor who stands up here and presents an image of having it all together, that pastor is a spiritual fraud. No one has it all together. No one is without sin. I mean, if you ever get the impression that I'm giving you that in the case of this church, that I'm not, how many times they say, people come up and I get it. They want to encourage. I'm so thankful for the encouragement. We need it. We need to encourage one another. I get that. But in the end, man, let us know we are just sinners together seeking the sufficient Savior. Amen? I mean, all of us sinners together. Trust me, man, the sin of my heart as recently as yesterday grieves me. Grieves me. I resonate with Paul, wretched man that I am. So important. Yet the temptation isn't the temptation to be seen in a certain light and the fear of being actually real before others. And I want to be honest too here at Hope, Hope Bible Church. Let's be honest. We are in a very spiritually intense environment. Wouldn't you agree? A very spiritually intense, I mean, even this message today, I mean, this is exactly what we're doing. I mean, you don't hear messages like this a lot in the church these days. It's a spiritually intense environment, which I absolutely love. But listen, listen, we must fight within that for authenticity because the temptation is to look a certain way when it's not real in our lives. That's the danger. So let me just summarize this. We pursue holiness, absolutely, but in humility. We seek his strength, absolutely, in our weakness. We want to grow in Christ, yes, grow in Christ. At the same time, we groan in our sin. And both can happen and should happen biblically at the same time. In fact, I believe the more we grow in Christ, the more we see depth of our sin. It's a kind of the irony, isn't it? The more you grow in Christ, when you first get saved, you're just like, I gotta stop doing the obvious things on the outside. And then you get time in Christ, all of a sudden that's why Paul, his theology of his own self, he's like, I'm a sinner. And then he ended with, I'm the worst sinner of ever, right? Because the more he grew in Christ, the more the depth of maturity revealed who he was and the layers of sin beneath and caused him to mourn over himself. That's super encouraging. We grow in Christ, we groan in sin. But in our text, and I want to draw us back there again, consider how seriously God takes the sin of hypocrisy. So serious to the point lives are taken. Look at verse 5. When Ananias heard these words, he fell down and breathed his last. Kidding me. When Ananias heard these words, he died. He fell down, struck down dead. He breathed his last. So sobering, such finality. Again, so serious. Again, church, just consider the tone God was setting from the beginning. On the website, God Question says this on this. He says, God laid the bodies of Ananias and Sapphira in the path of every hypocrite who would seek to enter the church. I'll say that again. That's so good. God laid the bodies of Ananias and Sapphira in the path of every hypocrite who would seek to enter the church. Here's what's God doing. Just a visual for you here. Here's what God is doing right here in the initial chapters of Acts. And for all who would listen, man, you got to take hypocrisy so seriously. This is going to come in the church. Warning, it may cause injury or death. I mean, that's just like, I'm not exaggerating, am I? I mean, this is exactly what is taking place. How does this relate today, man? I don't know, I mean, exactly, but we're even going to find out today from Lord's Supper, the seriousness, what Paul explains, that those who treat the Lord's Supper in a way that is unworthy and defiling the Lord's Supper, that has caused death as well. The text says, that is why some of you have become sick and some of you have even died, abusing the supper of the Lord and understanding the reaction from God in the early church here was lives were taken. This takes us now to point number two, the repercussions now. We have the reaction, now we have the repercussions. Great fear is felt. Look at verses 5 and 6 then. So it says, and great, second half, verse 5, and great fear came upon all who heard of it. The young men rose and wrapped him up and carried him out and buried him. Okay, so we begin to try and imagine what this scene must have been like, right? Consider this. Consider how jealous God is for his church. That's one of my big takeaways here. Consider how jealous God is for his church. Remember, when we are jealous, we sin. Why? Because we are jealous or envious of something that isn't ours. That's why it's sinful. I'm coveting, I'm envious of someone or what someone has, but it doesn't belong to me. So I'm trying to covet something that, again, that isn't mine. When God is jealous, he is perfect and it actually does belong to him. So it's not sinful for God to be jealous. What he's longing for, in this case, purity, our affection, our love, he owns us. It's entitled to him. It's his from the beginning. He is jealous for the love and the purity of his church as he should be in his perfection. I mean, just look at the passion of God for the purity of his church here. Without a doubt, God is setting the tone early. Here's what he does in Acts 5. He removes the lives of those who are filled with deception and lying and hypocrisy. Can you imagine if God did the same thing to us today? Like, can you imagine right now in this room, if God removed every one of us that was filled with some form of hypocrisy, deception, and lying? I mean, how many of us would be left? I don't know. And yet this is what's happening right here in the early stages of the church. Without question, God is jealous. Listen, he's jealous for your love. He wants us to see that. James 4, one of my favorite scriptures on this. Or do you suppose it is to no purpose that the scripture says he yearns jealously over the spirit that he's made to dwell in us? I mean, I want you to see it all the time. When we're wasting our lives with entertainment, God is yearning jealously over our lives. We spend our lives on self and self-indulgence. God is yearning jealously over the spirit within us because he longs for our love and affection. He longs for a purity in the church. When he sees the church going astray, God yearns jealously over those that are in that church, longing for them to repent and return and be restored to proper fellowship with him. Listen, this is why God disciplines those he loves. He disciplines us because he loves us, because he's jealous for our love. He sends difficulty and discipline in our lives to wake us up from our sinful patterns and to restore us once again to true love within him. Now, twice in this passage, we read about these young men. I mean, that really captures my attention over the years. These young men who came in and removed the bodies of Ananias and Sapphira. I mean, you want to talk about living in the text? Like, let's just try to live in the text for a second. Just imagine you're one of these young men. And by the way, young people, like, we might as well do this right now because it's right in the text. Young people, imagine this was you. Like, imagine this. You take where you are today and put yourself in the text right now. Just to imagine the power of this period in your life and in the church. I mean, you've been watching at some level. I mean, if they're this close to the church, you've seen other things. You've seen Pentecost, at least you've heard of Pentecost. You're watching 3,000 people get saved at a time. You're seeing the Holy Spirit dwell, and you are just looking around and saying, this is unbelievable. And now you come to Acts chapter 5, and these young men are there, and then they see this. Let me just say this for young people in this text. I mean, all of a sudden, Instagram is not such a priority, amen? I mean, that's not that important. All of a sudden, your clothing choice is not going to be at the top of the list. All of a sudden, being popular among your peers, again, is not going to be your priority either. All of a sudden, you're sitting there and you're watching this young people and you're just aware. You're like, man, this God is serious about sin. And I therefore cannot take my sin lightly. I have to imagine, I mean, I think this is obvious. These young men, twice they're mentioned. They take out two, they would never be the same again. I mean, you would never, ever forget this. I firmly believe they would tell this story for the remainder of their lives. And I believe they'd sit down with their children and, Lord willing, one day their grandchildren, and they would tell the story of the glory and the fear of God in taking the lives of Ananias and Sapphira. And I believe every time they told it, they would have holy tears fill up their eyes and run down their cheeks as they explained and declared the greatness, the glory, and the awesome nature of our God. I believe every time they told the story, they would be awakened again and stirred by the reality of what they saw and what they lived through. And by the way, too, I mean, just can you imagine as these young men became fathers? Do you think that they would be concerned about the sin in their home, the sin of lying and deception? Like, how seriously do you think they would take as parents, understanding that their kids would understand how seriously God takes a character that starts to become corrupt And like, parents, do I have to say it, man? Like, we need to just as seriously be training our children in the importance of a character of honesty and integrity. And when we see deception and the smallest of lies, if you don't jump on that, if you don't pray through that, if you don't sit there and address that, that will grow and grow and grow and grow. And some of the worst characters in history are those, again, the whole lives are filled with one big deception, deceiving, again, like character that just taints and ruins every situation they find themselves in. Notice in verse 11, it says, "And great fear came upon the whole church." I bet it did. Can you imagine? "And upon all who heard of these things, great fear." So you want to know the ingredients for a healthy church? Acts 4, verse 33 from last week, okay? It says, "And great power came upon them." The power of God. Acts 4, 33, great grace. And the grace of God was upon them. And then notice where there's great power and great grace, there will be, verse 11, great fear. These are the ingredients of a healthy church, healthy life, healthy marriage, healthy family, healthy leadership. The power of God, the grace of God, the fear of God. Great power, great grace, great fear. If you're like me, circle all three of those. Make sure you know they're there. Make sure somehow you know they're connected. Great power, great grace, great fear, all because of our great God. That is why the church went forward the way it did. God's power, God's grace, and the fear of the Lord upon God's people. I mean, tell you, how do you overstate the importance of the fear of the Lord within the church? Look at our God in this text. Look at what he's producing. Consider the reverence that would have been felt. Consider the sober-mindedness. Consider the way the church would have elevated their prayer from this point going forward as well. Can you imagine the fear of the Lord? I've been struck recently. Here's one verse. I've been reading through different texts. I've been struck again how much God is so clear about his judgment that is coming. I think this doesn't get enough airtime, man. "For it is time for judgment to begin at the household of God." See, we as the church will experience judgment not eternally, but there's an accounting for our lives and how we've stewarded what has given to us. But notice what the point Peter's making here. If we are judged as believers in some form, he says, can you imagine what the outcome will be for those who do not obey the gospel of God? Can you imagine? I mean, I was reading 2 Peter this morning, 2 Peter 2 and 3, the seriousness of the Bible's description of the day of the Lord that is coming and the wrath of God that will be poured out upon all the ungodly and upon all those who have hated and rejected Jesus Christ. I mean, it is such a massive deal. The Bible warns us over and over again. Jesus says multiple times, "And those days, weeping and gnashing of teeth." I don't know how the Bible be any more clear for us to understand what's going to happen very soon. And when we get that, that should cause us to live not in arrogance of self, but in fear of the Lord. And I'm telling you, we don't have it the way we should. You don't have it the way you should, and I don't have it the way we should. God help us, amen? Seriously, Lord, like work out our lives to produce more and more, not a casual, flippant approach to God, but the holy, reverent, serious awareness of own sin. And telling you, like when I was studying like this text, there were points in this message when I was writing where my heart literally began to beat fast with the intensity that I felt in the Spirit of God working in my own life and what I believe for the life of our church. Only he can do that. I'm just telling you, man, I'm just sitting there going, wow, like this means, and I just had to stop and say, Lord, just show me where in my life am I grieving you? Where am I tempted towards hypocrisy and deception? And Lord, show me, like the psalmist, see if there be any grievous way within me, God, because if there's forms of patterns of any kind of these things that you please, God, just please, because I know you will not see blessing as you continue to live in this way. Can't. What a message God is sending to his church right from the start, and how the fear of the Lord would be felt upon the early church. And listen, I would be remiss today, and I think I would be failing to love you properly if I did not take this passage and send a warning to those of us right now who are engaged in willful, blatant sin against God. I would be remiss if I didn't take a moment and to let this moment kind of live out a little bit. If you are currently right now engaged in a blatant, willful sin against the Holy Spirit of God, not to warn you, not to warn you. And I believe the Holy Spirit can use this because he loves us so much and the grace that he gives, but to understand the seriousness of what we're seeking to do. There are some here right now, and your lives are characterized by egregious, grievous sin to the Lord. Because he loves you and loves us, he warns you and he warns us. The continual pattern of such behavior is guaranteed destruction. Do not take sin lightly. And listen. Do not take the Lord's Supper lightly today either. There's seriousness today. Listen, there's grace today. But there's grace for those who seek him. There's grace for those who repent. There's grace for those who know they need him. There's grace for those who are broken. Brokenness over sin is one of the absolute best places you can ever be to experience the grace, the love, and the peace of God to flood your life again. Those who remain hardened and stubborn in heart, they will resist the Holy Spirit. But those who admit and again humble themselves and repent and surrender. It's happened to me over and over and over again. The absolute best times of fellowship with the Lord is when you just enough of self and embrace Christ. I pray that God today, even through this message, is radiating refinement for his glory. That God's glory would be so bright and so intense that even the glory of him would purify and would refine us within our lives. So we see the reaction, we see the repercussions, and then finally notice this, just quickly, the result. I just want you to see the result. The church thrives. Just look at 5 verse 14. And more than ever, believers were added to the Lord, multitudes of both men and women, and more than ever. So watch this. The church is refined, the church is renewed, and then the church bears beautiful fruit. See what pruning does? Like, it's just like an increase. God prunes with the lives of Ananias and Sapphira. And then from this point, fruit even comes forth more bursting and more powerful. Again, more than ever, believers were added. Multitudes of both men and women. That is so awesome. And this truth carries on today. We must be refined to be revived. And few want to walk this path, but God hurts us to heal us, Hosea 6. He hurts us to heal us. So how has the Holy Spirit revealed sin in your life today? Where has the Holy Spirit revealed sin in your heart and my heart today? Has the Holy Spirit revealed sin in your heart? You know what I'm saying? If you're here right now, I think as a genuine, I have to believe that every single person here today, not one person is without examination, that the Spirit of God would reveal something in our lives that we need to take to the cross right now. That every single person can be broken over something in their lives and search him and ask him something to repent of. Some error in our lives that has been deception, hypocrisy, lying, inconsistent, insincere, disingenuous, whatever it might be. Holy Spirit, would you do that?
Live in the Light exists to see radical transformation in God's people through the revelation of God's truth. We believe that through the faithful and passionate preaching of God's word, disciples will be made and the church will be strengthened. Our prayer is as people are impacted by living the light, they will be renewed in mind, reinforced in faith, and resolved in will to live in Jesus Christ. Thanks for listening to Live in the Light today. If you'd like to hear this message again or any messages in this series, visit us online at liveinthelight.ca. That's all for today. Join us next time at Live in the Light.